Okay, hey everybody, welcome to Well Chat episode 5. Welcome to August. It's August 1st, and Chris and I are here at the campus of beautiful Montana State University. And as soon as I got the microphone out, the grounds crew know, and here they come. The mowers are out. Anytime the microphone comes out, the mowers come out. In the summertime. It's amazing. And there's only a few strips of grass outside our window, and I think they just mow it repeatedly whenever we're trying to record anything, but we're going for it.
Yes.
So if you hear some mowers in the background, you'll just think happy thoughts of summertime.
Yeah, so August 1st, that means we're about a month out from you finishing the RAM. How are you feeling, Neil?
Yes, and I would just like to say that we're not talking about the RAM at this episode. We're going to focus on
nutrition.
So nutrition. But we're getting away from.
I just wanted to ask. Yeah.
Okay, I'm feeling well. Thank you. It did take me a little time to recover. Apparently, when you exercise that much over, you know, 9 or 10 days, it does take a toll. And one thing, I don't know how surprised I was in this, but it was more of a mental fatigue. My body was recovered quite nicely, but mentally, I was tired for a couple of weeks, and it just took me a while to kind of find my groove again. You know, want to get back on the bike or get over to the gym. But last week I had a pretty good week, and started riding again and started lifting again. But for 2 or 3 weeks, your exercise and fitness specialist kind of chilled out for a little bit.
I think you're allowed after a ride like that.
Well, thank you. But I am feeling better and focusing on the next phase, getting my running shoes laced up again and getting in the weight room. And so it's been good.
Excellent.
But enough about me. Let's talk about some fruits and vegetables today.
One of my favorite topics.
Kristen's going to talk about another one of her 6 nutritional tenets. In episode 2, we talked about her first tenet, which was the 80-20 rule of moderation. And so if you missed that episode, go back and listen to episode 2. And your second tenet, which we're going to talk about today, is one that I would say resonates or has resonated with me. It has become part of my, I guess, nutritional subconscious when I'm preparing meals and even snacks. And it's, I think, maybe one of the reasons why this one's worked well for me is because it's very simple. It's easy for me to think about and actually modify, you know, what I eat based on nutritional tenet number 2,
which is eat more plants. So I like this one as well, personally, but for a couple of reasons. First is that a lot of nutrition science can at times be conflicting, and we go back and forth with things about saturated fat and egg yolks and coconut oil, and sometimes that can get really frustrating, I think, for people. But I can say with confidence and with strong confidence that this will not change in the future, that we know that eating plants, so fruits and veggies, is good for us. So I like having that recommendation.
So there's no scientific debate right now about whether or not, you know, spinach is good for you or not.
Correct.
Or kale or...
Yeah, yeah.
Zucchini.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
All of that is, yeah, it's good stuff. And the other reason I like this, so most of you know that fruits and veggies are good for you and that you should be eating them. But most of us aren't doing it, actually. So I think it's still always,
no way.
I know.
You gotta be kidding me.
Always a good reminder to bring up. So in fact, There was a study done in 2015, and they looked at the percentage of Americans who were eating the recommended amounts of fruits and veggies. And Neil, do you want to take a guess of how many people were eating the recommended amount of fruit per day?
Fruit?
Fruit only.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Fruit, I would say like 35%.
That's a good guess. About a quarter of us are eating the recommended amount of fruit.
Oh, okay.
So that means 75% of us, the vast majority, are not getting enough.
That's 3 out of 4 for you non-math majors.
And then do you want to take a guess, Neil, as to how many people were eating the recommended amount of vegetables?
20%.
13%.
Yikes.
Yeah. So about 87% of us are not consuming the recommended amount of vegetables. So even more.
Are you in the 13%, Kristen?
Some days.
Some days? Okay. All right.
I try, but just like everyone, there are days that I absolutely fall short.
And I know you're going to talk about this later, but is it 5 servings of vegetables or...
So they've kind of transitioned from number of servings to total amount.
Oh,
so okay. I can talk about that now. It does depend really on gender and age and number of calories. But for most of us, it's recommended that we get 2 to 3 cups of vegetables per day. And then 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit per day.
I'm going to say that I'm in the some days category then.
Okay, that's good.
And fruit maybe a little more. My 2 boys are definitely, they are getting their fruit.
Yes.
They love it.
And most of us, yeah, do like fruit a little sweeter. But yeah, the veggies can be a little trickier for people too. So, but if you think about those recommendations, so 2 to 3 cups of vegetables may sound like... a lot. Depending on your hand size, that could be 1 cup, maybe about the size of your fist. But think about that spread out throughout the day. So if you are including fruits and veggies with every meal and snack, then throughout the day, that's pretty reasonable. We can do that as long as we're intentional about it. That's just the tricky part, I think, for most of us. So when I say eat more plants, I am primarily talking about fruits and vegetables, but also legumes, whole grains, nuts and seeds, all of those good plant foods. And I do want to put out there that I'm not advocating for a vegan or vegetarian diet. All of us, regardless of what type of diet we follow, could stand to have more plants in there. I think the term a plant-based diet is beginning to be a loaded term. So this is just a more broad recommendation than that we should all be eating more of those plant foods.
And so I think maybe this is one of the things that I feel like this tenet has particularly helped me eat a more healthy diet. And I don't want to steal thunder from you or from some of your future tenants, but when I'm eating fruits and vegetables, and Kristen's going to tell us in a second, I think, like why that's so good for us, but it also means in some cases I'm not eating other stuff. So do you want to say anything about the other stuff that I'm that I might not be eating, or
sure,
do you want me to talk about the other stuff that I'm not eating? No.
Well, yeah, what do plants replace in your diet when you're eating lots of veggies?
And like I said, this is getting into another tenet, but I think oftentimes they're replacing maybe processed food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good. It's like I'm eating something real instead of something that I got out of a package. And that's what I've found.
Awesome.
A lot of times.
Yeah, I hope that many people find that that's the case. So, yeah, a couple of reasons. So we know that fruits and veggies are good for us, but I always like to hear, excuse me, the more exact reasons of why they're good for us. So first of all, most fruits and veggies, and again, legumes, whole grains, nuts and seeds, really high in what we call micronutrients. So those are vitamins and minerals. Many of them are very rich sources of these. So sure, you can take a multivitamin supplement every day, but I think the better option is to get the recommended amount of plants, and then you are going to be well on your way to getting the recommended amounts of your vitamins and minerals. Another reason is that plants contain something called phytochemicals or phytonutrients, and that phyto part of the word comes from the word plants. So these are found exclusively in plants, and these compounds, there are literally thousands of them, but they are basically the plant's immune system. So if you think about the spiciness of a pepper, that comes from a phytonutrient. If you think about the bright coloring of a tomato, that is from a phytonutrient. And these phytonutrients, again, give the plant its immune system. And when we eat them as humans, they provide really great health benefits to us as well. So we're talking about long-term chronic risk or chronic disease risk decreases when we consume a lot of phytonutrients. So they've tied these compounds to lower risk of things like heart disease, eye health, overall inflammation, cancer risk. So all of these, again, long-term health risks can be decreased when we eat a lot of plants. So these phytonutrients tend to be grouped in color, and that is really why the recommendation to eat a variety of colors, that's where that comes from, because each color kind of is tied to certain health benefits. So when we talk about colors, it's your dark green veggies or your red veggies or your blue and purple, even white has that. Those are phytonutrients as well. So things like onions and pears, those still contain those phytonutrients. And again, each of those broad categories is tied to some health benefits. For instance, beta carotene, or the orange coloring of a carrot, that is a phytonutrient that is linked to eye health. So if you want to protect your eyes and eat some beta carotene, eat some carrots.
So I think that makes it maybe more real for a lot of people, because maybe most people probably not familiar with the term phytonutrient, but I bet most people have heard of beta carotene. Are there any other like big phytonutrients where people would be like, oh yeah, I've heard of that?
Maybe lycopene, which is in tomatoes and watermelon. So that's a red coloring.
And is that one of those, the cancer mm-hmm. fighting agents?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And there's a lot of overlap. You know, some of them, they're not exclusively like
right.
protective against cardiovascular disease. All of them are very beneficial to our health. But
and one thing that I don't want to minimize, and it, of course, you just talked about the phytochemicals and some of these long-term health benefits. I'm sure they have short-term health benefits as well. But, you know, going back to just your micronutrients, like your vitamins and minerals, I think so many adults are like, yeah, I'm supposed to get, you know, my recommended amounts of vitamins and minerals, and maybe they're taking a multivitamin. But I mean, the micronutrients, I don't think we really need to discount like how much of just on a day-to-day basis, you know, our bodies, there's so many functions that happen, you know, in our bodies and in our minds all the time without us thinking about it. And really for optimal performance in anything, like those vitamins and minerals are just so key, you know, yes. just to a functioning body on a day-to-day basis. I think it's very important. And we talk about so much like these long-term, you know, chronic disease factors and how you're, you know, managing your risk long-term, but just on a day-to-day basis, Can you talk a little bit about how these micronutrients and phytochemicals just help us be better right now?
Sure.
I know I put you on the spot
That's all right. I mean, so many vitamins and minerals are known as essential, meaning that we have to get them from our diet. So our bodies can make some of these vitamins and minerals, but many of them we absolutely need from our diet. Our every body system really relies on some of these micronutrients to function properly. So our metabolism, our skin health, I mean, really everything. And again, fruits and veggies are just such a rich source of these. And then phytochemicals, a lot of them also function as antioxidants, which oxidation occurs in our body on a daily basis from a variety of factors.
Including exercise.
Including exercise, yeah. And so these can be really protective. It is it's a process that occurs, but it can be damaging and long-term. You know, that can lead to diseases like cancer. And so when we consume antioxidants, that can help lessen that process and protect against oxidation.
And oxidation is associated also with premature aging. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of disease processes. Yeah. Okay. So, again, we're talking, that's a little bit long-term, but I do think there are short-term benefits as well to consuming those.
And if you're interested more in that subject, we'll plug this at the end of today's Well Chat, but Kristen's going to have a webinar next month talking about nutrition and aging.
Yeah, so I guarantee we'll be talking a bit about oxidation and antioxidants. Yeah, yeah. And then finally, another reason why plant foods are so good for us is that they contain fiber. So fiber is good for our digestive health. It is good for healthy blood sugar levels. So when we eat foods that have fiber, they're going to minimize that blood sugar spike. And then they're also really good. Fiber is good at keeping us full. So if you have a meal or snack that contains fibrous plant foods, you will feel full for longer than if you were to eat something without fiber. So something like some white bread or some, hopefully that's not your whole meal, but something that just is lower in fiber, people tend to feel hungry earlier. So it's a good healthy weight strategy as well. And then plants, as Neil alluded to what it replaces, plant foods are lower in calories and so yet high in nutrients, and that's kind of what we're going for. So if we fill up on plant foods, then we are getting a lot of nutrition without going overboard on calories as well. So all these really great reasons to eat more plants.
Yeah, and like I said, this is one that I've really tried to be conscious of in my own personal diet, and even, you know, when preparing meals for my family or my boys, making sure we're including, you know, fruit or vegetables. Vegetables are a little trickier with young children, but it can be done. Do you want to talk about maybe just a few simple strategies if someone is wanting to eat more plants?
Yes. So the first strategy that I think is really just easy visually to use is the half plate strategy. So if you imagine your meal, let's say dinner, and you divide that meal plate in half, half of that should be filled with vegetables, maybe some fruit too. But a lot of us, that doesn't really happen most of the time. And non-starchy vegetables in particular. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be salad, but if you're, again, just thinking about proportion-wise, we do want about half of our meals to come from plants. We want some good protein in there, too, and some healthy oils and some whole grains, but but we do want the majority of our meal to be based on fruits and veggies. And I think you use that one, right, Neil? You've talked about that one several times, that strategy that works for you. The half plate.
Yes. Just as simple as looking at my plate and I like the my plate icon.
Yes. And then the other strategy is every time you have a meal or a snack to include a vegetable or a fruit. So this is good again because by lunchtime, if you've had breakfast, maybe even a mid-morning snack, and then lunch, you're well on your way to getting the recommended amounts. And it also helps, I think, prevent some mindless snacking. If you think that, you know, if you consider every time that you're eating to be an opportunity to eat some fruits and veggies, you know, crackers by themselves don't really fit the bill. Potato chips, just down in a bag of those, doesn't really fit in there either. So it can be helpful in numerous ways. And then finally, it doesn't have to be salad. That I think is a misconception for a lot of people. But there are a number of ways that you can enjoy vegetables that don't have to be salads. And I have a new appreciation for this. Like I luckily enjoy salads and I have them regularly, but I have empathy now for people who don't like salads or don't like raw vegetables. During my first trimester of pregnancy, I did not feel well at all. And looking at raw vegetables or thinking about eating a salad just made me sick. So I had to be much more creative in the ways that I got vegetables. And I found for me that adding them to things that were a little more tolerable was a good strategy. So for example, adding a little more vegetables to a casserole or to pizza or a veggie soup, that could be a way that I was going to fit in some vegetables without, again, being faced with having to just sit down to a salad. And I think, you know, there's other ways. Roasting is a really great strategy. It sweetens it up, a lot of the vegetables. And so, you know, many of us like a sweeter taste, so that makes them more palatable. Do you have other suggestions, Neil?
Well, I was just going to say you can check out, Kristen's got some great video resources on our blog, MontanaMovesAndMeals.com, including one about roasting veggies. And that's a cooking style that we've incorporated a lot to get more veggies. Although it's been a little tough lately because I don't have air conditioning in my house and it's really hot. And whenever I can avoid turning the oven on, I avoid turning the oven on. So we've definitely been going a more of a salad route lately, or some kind of quicker cooking method for our veggies. But normally, yeah, we love the roasting option. And my kids like the roasted veggies because it kind of makes them crispy and a little sweeter. And it's like eating French fries a little bit.
During the summer when it is hot, grilling can be a great
preparation method for veggies. We've been doing a lot of grilling lately.
Yeah. So any
grilled zucchini is one of my faves.
Yeah. And just cooking vegetables in general, again, sweetens them up and makes them easier to digest. So that can be a more attractive way for many people to get in their daily veggies. So unless you have other things to add, Neil, I think that wraps it up for nutrition tenet number two, to eat more plants.
Eat more plants.
Yeah. Hopefully you got a good reminder there, good reinforcement.
Okay, you want to do some news?
Yes.
Okay, so I think a good just segue, since we've been talking about vegetables, is Kristen is going to have another video coming out mid-August. I think August 14th might be the debut of that one. Do you want to talk about your next your Montana meal veggie video?
Sure. So the topic for this video is weird veggies. So those more unusual veggies that you may not know quite what to do with. So we're going to talk about kohlrabi and eggplant and tomatillos and Garlicscapes.
Awesome. And that's going to be coming out August 14th, along with a new round of challenges for those of you that are participating in our online incentive program. August 14th, 2 weeks, new challenges will be rolled out. So look forward to those, including the video. And then we mentioned briefly that you're going to have a webinar coming up in September. We're trying to get as much out of Kristen before she goes on maternity leave as possible. So plug your next webinar.
Yes. So next webinar is September 21st. I believe that's a Thursday at noon. And it will be about nutrition for healthy aging.
Yeah. So enjoy Kristen while you can, because you guys are going to be getting sick of me this fall, because she's going to be out.
But I'll be back. Yeah. I'll be back at the new year.
Yeah. And she might make some cameos, or you can write a blog article from home, right?
Might be a little busy, but
we'll see what we can squeeze out of Kristen. And then finally today, it is getting close to the beginning of the school year and the beginning of the fall, and we have a very special guest making her debut on the Montana Moves and Meals Well Chat, the MUS Wellness veteran who's been here
way too long.
So long.
12 years.
12 years? Wow. Wow. All right. So Kelsey Hartzheim is here, and she's going to tell us about Fall Well Chat.
Thanks, Neil. This is fun. Thanks for letting me join in today. I can't believe we're talking about fall well checks already, but it is that time. Our fall well checks will start in September. And if you aren't real familiar with what a well check is, it's a health fair where if you're covered under the insurance plan, you have the opportunity to get your complete chemistry screen done and a CBC, which is a complete blood count. As an insured plan member, you're eligible for 2 free screenings per plan year. So that's July 1 through June 30th. And this fall at our well checks, you'll also have the opportunity to get a flu shot, a free flu shot. So if you have an adult child covered under your plan that's 18 years or older, they can also attend the well check event and get their free flu shot. Well checks are a great opportunity, kind of a one-stop shop to get your basic health screening done. They'll do some biometrics, which is some blood pressure and your height and weight. And you get your results really quickly, within 2 weeks. So it's really nice to just pop in on your campus and get that screening, and you'll get a chance to for sure talk to Neil this fall at most of the well check events. Another thing just to mention is the campuses will advertise your well check to you via email about 1 month prior to your event. But if you are a planner and you want to get those well checks on your calendar right now, they are listed on our website under well checks. And you can just make a note that you want to go online and register for that event. And if you're going to go to the health fair, you think, I don't need my blood drawn right now, but I do want to pop in and get my flu shot, you don't have to register for that. You can just bring your insurance card with you and pop in and get your flu shot.
Awesome. Thanks, Kels.
Thank you.
All right. That does it for Well Chat episode 5. Until next time, be well. No one joined in on me. All right. Until next time. Be well.
Be well.
Take 3. Okay, until next time, be well.